In an Environment and Public Works hearing Wednesday morning, Senator Dan Sullivan introduced an amendment to a bill saying Fish and Wildlife can't implement a recently proposed rule restricting management practices in Alaska refuges.
These proposed regulations, as currently written by the Fish and Wildlife Service, would fundamentally alter not only how we now manage wildlife refugees and the fish and wildlife and habitats on them, but will also change the relationship of the Fish and Wildlife Service and the individual states from one of cooperation, which it should be, to subservience.
Fish and Wildlife manages nearly 77 million acres of land in Alaska in 16 national wildlife refuges. The practices that Fish and Wildlife intends to ban in those areas are what the state calls intensive management, like baiting brown bears, same-day airborne hunting of bears, and harvesting wolves and coyotes during denning season. Susan Alexander is manager for the Alaska Peninsula and Basharoff National Wildlife Refuges. She says the state has used intensive management in management units that overlap with 13 of the 16 refuges.
What it means is that the state in those areas is focusing on practices to reduce predator populations, to increase the availability of certain species, mostly moose and caribou, for harvest by people. And that involves some specific targeted control of predators that are practices that are counter to our mandates.
Fish and Wildlife is federally mandated to manage for biological integrity and environmental health in refuges.
And then within ANILCA, each of the Alaska refuges has a purpose, which is to manage for natural diversity.
Also within ANILCA is Title VIII, which gives Alaska Natives and rural residents priority for subsistence hunting. Then on the state side, the Alaska Board of Game has its own constitutional mandate to manage wildlife for the benefit of all citizens. This clutter of legal frameworks has created confusion and sometimes contention going back two decades. Here, conservationists support the federal restrictions. Hunters, however, and the state of Alaska and its congressional delegation view each proposal as another example of federal overreach.
Both sides are making laws to help protect what they got, and users are stuck in between.
Frank Wood is chairman of the Nooshogak Fish and Game Advisory Committee and spent years working on subsistence issues with the Bristol Bay Native Association. He reminds people that what's really at stake for local users is big game that wolves and bears prey on.
When I first got into resource management for subsistence use at BB&A, we had seven established wolf packs in Bristol Bay, and they decimated the caribou population, but also decimating the calving population on moose in the spring and in the wintertime. Right behind the villages on the peninsula, Port Hyden, Kugashik, those lands on federal side are off limits for any intensive management.
That particular stretch of the peninsula is split long ways between federal land, the Alaska Peninsula and Basharoff refuges on the Gulf of Alaska side, and state land on the Bristol Bay side. Wood says hunters there were able to control the wolf population on one side of the boundary, but not the other. And over time, he says, the dual management system has just become too complicated for local users to keep up with.
And it becomes really taxing for the user to know what land they're sitting on, what regulation they fall under. There ain't enough time, enough people, and enough money to start, you know, keeping a pulse on everything. So whatever we come up with, I hope we're not 20 years from now doing the same thing.
Last year, the National Park Service took the lead on predator control hunting restrictions, finalizing similar rules for park and preserve lands in October 2015. The Fish and Wildlife Service, which generally manages for much more liberal hunting practices on refuge lands, let NPS test the waters before moving forward with its own rule. Sullivan's amendment to stop that rule passed the committee Wednesday by a vote of 12-8. It'll be added to the Bipartisan Sportsmen's Act of 2015, which heads next to the U.S. Senate. Meanwhile, the public has a 60-day comment period to weigh in on the Fish and Wildlife rule. Governor Bill Walker has asked the feds to extend that out another 2 months. And public hearings kick off next week in Kotzebue. In Dillingham, I'm Hannah Colton.